Well, it's a blessing to be here. I think we all feel that way because we didn't just come to another country or to another city. We didn't just gather to a religion, but to Jesus. And because I know so many of you over many years, I know your heart. I know why you're here. You want the Lord. I want the Lord. Some years ago, I guess it's been about 20 years ago. I was in my prime. I was in my best, my strongest, my wisest. And the Lord brought a crisis. He brought attacks. He brought words that were hurtful to me, words that that struck my very heart, my soul, like the devil with fiery darts. And it was so deep that I went upstairs, and there's a little room up there and has a little bed in it, and I just went in there and couldn't get out of bed. I was in bed and just, sheet was pulled over my head and I didn't want to see anybody. Like a glass that you break and you know, it's just pieces. It's no longer whole. It's just pieces. And I thought, well, it's over with, you know. I'll never preach again. I'll never share Jesus. Even my wife would just come up and bring food and then leave. And that went on for weeks. And there's a bathroom up there also, and the only time I'd get out of that bed was to go to the bathroom. And when I would walk to the bathroom, I would just shake. I just shake. I had no strength. I was so weak. And in my weakness, I just told the Lord, I'm done. I'm done. But as the time went on, I realized that that's not my decision. That's His decision. And so I prayed a little prayer, just a little one. Do you know what toothpaste is? You know, brush your teeth. Yeah. It's like a empty tube of toothpaste. You know, me. I was that. And I said, Lord, if you can squeeze anything else out, if there's anything left that you want to use in this tube of toothpaste, then I give you permission to do that. And, here I am today. But I learned something. I learned that all my strength was not important. And all my wisdom was not important. And all of my ability was not important. When I got up out of that bed, I said, it must be you. Not I, but Christ. But Christ. And so many years later after that, I was aware of that weakness within me, that something had happened. I was like a crippled person. But I was okay in Jesus. As long as it was Jesus, I was okay. But if it was like he wasn't there, I just was, you know. And when I came back to his heart, to Jesus' heart, I felt strength, but not mine. And so I got a pen I started with a drawing, and I began to draw, and I drew this picture. Yes. And I had seen a similar picture from somebody, and it was this beautiful heart. And these beautiful hands holding. It was like the hands were like this. And they were beautiful. And was holding this beautiful heart. And I remember thinking, that's not what's happening in me. I said, Jesus' heart is sort of broken. And, you know, he loves us with this kind of heart. No matter what we do, you know. And so I drew these crippled hands and deformed. See, they're not normal. And I felt, as I drew it, that he was letting me hold his heart in weakness as I shook, you know. But it was precious. His heart was precious. But my hands, I was deformed. I wasn't pretty. I wasn't something that you wanted to look at. But Jesus said, come. Here's my heart. I want you to know my heart. Something so precious and you're so ugly, you know, but that's precious, but you're so ugly. And you go, Lord, you know, I'm afraid I'll hurt your heart. I'll do something and hurt it. I don't want to do that. And he said, come. He said, come. And so I began to feel his heart. I began to know his heart more than just a teaching, more than just the Bible, his heart in the Bible, his heart in the teaching. I wanted to know, I didn't want to know anything but Christ and him crucified. Because I understood with these hands, crucified. I understood that deeply. And Jesus got up too. Not out of a bed, but out of a tomb. And Jesus in me got up, but not me. I'm still in the tomb. And I feel him getting more and me less. I'm going down, but he's going up. More of Jesus, less of me. More of Jesus. It must be that. You know, I seem, my hands are getting more crippled because he's making me weak so that he can be my strength. And so when you draw and paint, you try to capture something. And I draw and paint a lot. It's one of my ways. It's like music. Through music I can get things out. Through drawing I can. And many times when I draw, I don't feel good. I didn't capture it. I didn't get it. But this time I got it. I feel like I got it. I got it. And the Lord, when we go to the scripture, sometimes we just read. We just take the Bible and we just read. And we're not looking for the crucified. We're looking for, you know, enlightenment, great things, or something. But we're not looking for the crucified. We're not looking as crucified. And so we just read right over it. We miss his heart. We get the story, but we miss his heart. And, you know, there are scriptures that talk about people gathered to Jesus. People came to him, and they were the lame, you know, crippled, and the blind, and all that. And we read that, and, you know, we go, well, praise God, Jesus heals. You know, Jesus. But I want to read a verse that at first seems so plain, and yet it is so powerful. So the wording is so powerful. Maybe if you have your Bible, you can turn there. It's Matthew chapter 15. Matthew. Francine, how do you say Matthew? Mateus. Amen. Matthews. Okay. Chapter 15, verse 30. And great multitudes came unto him. Okay, so that's the first part. Great multitudes. Many people, different kinds of people, different ways of thinking, different backgrounds, different families, different, but many people came to him. And it says having with them those that were lame and blind and dumb, that's some of us, and maimed and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet. So there's many people coming, and they're bringing blind people, and they're bringing weak and feeble people, and they bring the weak ones. They're bringing the deformed ones. They're bringing the ones who can't see, and they're casting them down onto the ground at Jesus' feet. So there's two groups. Good. There's two groups. The people who are strong, the people who see, the people who hear, the people who can walk strong. And then there's the ones that can't. They lack. They know that they lack. They know they can't see. They know who they are. And the strong take them and throw them down. Just like garbage, like trash. Throw them down. Just throw them down. But they throw them at Jesus' feet. The strong are not at Jesus' feet. They're not at Jesus' feet. But the weak ones are. So the strong gathered, a great multitude came unto him. So the great multitude comes to Jesus. But the weak and the sick come to Jesus' feet. They come to Jesus' feet. You remember Mary of Bethany holding onto his feet, weeping onto his feet, taking her hair, washing his feet, just to be with him, just to be with him, just to, she didn't feel like she could stand there and go, you know, talk face to face, but rather, I just want to be at your feet. We don't gather because we're strong. And we don't gather because everything is right with us. We're not here because everything is right with us. We're here because we need Jesus. We need Jesus. And we come to his feet. And we come not to prove to him how good we are or how strong we are or how wise we are. But we like the wise men who came when Jesus was born, they come and they lay those gifts down. They don't keep them and say, look, I have gifts. See, many Christians hold on to everything. I want to trade my gifts for his heart. I'm willing. I'll give it all away. I don't have anything. I don't know anything. I'm not worth anything. You are everything. You, Jesus. But it's your heart, not just a person that I think about. Well, hi, Jesus, you know, not just a person, not just over there. But Lord, I want to know your heart. I want to know this heart. And I want to be so crippled that you would say, you've got nothing in your hands. You've got nothing to give. I'll give you my heart. I'll give you my heart. I wrote down some things the other day. I was just sitting there and they just came to me very simple. You remember the scripture that says we have this treasure in earthen vessels. You see out there there's pots and vessels and they're broken. But there's a treasure in there. We have this treasure in earthen vessels so that the power would be of him, not of us. And the power would be of him in us, Christ in us, Christus. Is that right? Thank God. So I wrote this, a cracked earthen vessel holds his life. A cracked, you know, I'm not whole, I'm cracked. I've been called that many times. A cracked earthen vessel holds his life. Oh my God. Oh my God. Not a beautiful gold vessel. Not silver. Not riches in me, of me, or you. But a cracked earthen vessel holding his life? His life? Where is the awe? You know, oh, where does it go when we get so familiar with Jesus that it's just, we don't realize this is a treasure in this kind of vessel. No, we're too busy trying to become stronger, more beautiful. Whatever, you know. Better clothes, better this. No. A broken, cracked, earthen vessel that I cannot believe that he would let crippled hands hold his heart and an earthen, cracked vessel hold his life. Glory to God. All glory to God. Not just some glory. All glory. I wrote a broken, I didn't write this, I'm just quoting this now. I won't. There's several of these that I wrote, but this one's from the scripture. A broken spirit, he will not despise. He sees us broken. And he doesn't look at us and go, no. Doesn't reject us. If you're not perfect tonight or today or if you're not, if everything isn't just perfect, no. If he sees you broken, if he sees you lacking, if he sees you crippled in certain ways, He doesn't despise you. He doesn't reject you. He doesn't look at you and think, no. He sees something that could rest in him. Something, he sees someone that can find him, that can search. I'm searching for you. I'm searching for you. I'm moved because I we look in a room and we go, oh, Kelly's so spiritual. Debbie's so spiritual. B is so spiritual. You know, we go around the room and go, oh. You know, we withdraw. But we should be searching, hunting for Jesus. I want Jesus. I don't want to be like Kelly, because then I'd be a girl. Sorry. But if she has Jesus, I want Jesus, but I don't want her Jesus. Do you understand? I want Jesus. I want his heart. I want his heart, and I want him to say, come, take my heart. But if you're too strong, no, he won't say, come. Do you understand that? If you know too much, he's not going to give you his heart, but if you are frail, if you're weak, then it would be with trembling and care. Jesus, let me know your heart. Hallelujah. Lowly shepherds and rejected foreigners he invites to his birthday. Lowly shepherds, you know, how do you say shepherd? Hatos? That's good enough. Very good. Very good. But not just shepherds, lowly shepherds, you know. Lowly shepherds and rejected foreigners. Three wise men that came, you know, the three, how would you say that? The three wise men that came to Jesus. What is it? Uh-huh. Yeah, the three raisins. California raisins. Oh, God. Okay, but the wise men, I mean, they're foreigners. To the Jews, they're not wise. And so God the Father says, it's Jesus' birthday. Who shall I invite? Great kings? No. By the way, the three kings weren't great, they weren't kings, but anyway. He says, there's some shepherds taking care of sheep that will be used in sacrifice. Because Israel, that's what they use their sheep for. and let's bring in some foreigners so that all the Jews will be really happy. Iran. Iranians. That's who he invites to Jesus' birthday party. A bruised reed he will not break. You remember that scripture? Thank you for explaining that. Because I don't think I could have done that. And then the blind and the lame and the imperfect, he will gather to his feet. He will gather to his feet. And a very young girl, he makes his mother. There, in this scripture, great multitudes. Jesus doesn't see great multitudes. We say there's only a few people here, small number of people. Maybe he only saw a small number of people there when they were cast at his feet. Compared to the group, they were probably a smaller number. And the others are going, oh, it's good to be here with Jesus. Yeah. We've gathered to be with Jesus. Yeah, we're strong. And some of the crippled are weeping at his feet. Weeping. I think that we think the greatest gift would be for him to heal everybody, you know, to heal us. But sometimes it's better to be weak. Sometimes it's better to feel your weakness, to feel it. I need you, Lord, not me. I don't want you to change my weakness to my strength. I don't want my weakness to be changed to my strength. I want you. Whether you in weakness, which happened at the cross. Jesus in weakness. No, I don't want Jesus in weakness. I want the healer. I want the one who makes everything better. That's the way the gathering says, you know, make my life better. No. Keep me low so that your life will be my life. So that who you are can inhabit this vessel. Not just you over there blessing me, you know, but you, the crucified, in here, living in me. Not my will. Not my life. Not my strength. More of you. Less of me. You must increase. You must increase. And I must decrease. So that might mean me and strength, you must decrease.
I'm not as strong.
So that I can increase. So that when people meet you, they meet Jesus. Not just good Christians. Not just good Christians. No more good Christians. Let's do away with good Christians. I'm not talking about kill them. I'm just saying let's do. The cross already did that. Let's do away with the concept of good Christians. Because we're always measuring ourselves with other people. People in books, people in movies that are supposedly Christian, people that gather, and we're always measuring. Let's do away with all good Christians, and let's say Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let's make Christ what it's all about. Let's not live a Christian life. Let's not say, I'm a Christian, I read my Bible. No, let's say, I am a cripple, I just want Jesus, and I search, where are you, Lord? I want to see your heart. You know, there's your heart. It's different. I'm not trying to be a scholar, biblical scholar. I know the Bible. I want to know Jesus. I want to know his heart. And when that becomes our goal, then life becomes more simple. It really becomes much more simple. Yeah. Your eye is single. Not, oh, I like this. Oh, isn't this nice? Oh, what about that? Oh, I don't like that. Oh, that. It's single. Because I want to see Jesus in the Word. In the Word of God. I want to see Jesus in me. I want it to be Jesus in me. I want it to be Jesus in you. If I see something in you that's not Jesus, then I don't go, well, I said, Lord, fill them with your life. Lord, let me tell you a story. I've told this several times recently. This is a story. Two men worked for a shoe company. They were shoe salesmen. Okay? And so they were the top two men in the whole company. And the boss calls in the top one, the best shoe salesman. And he says, I want to send you to Africa to sell shoes. And the top one says, no, no, they don't wear shoes. I can't go to Africa. They don't even wear shoes. So he leaves and the boss calls in the second best. And he says, I want to send you to Africa
to sell shoes. And he goes, that's great. None of them have shoes. We look at somebody that you see something that's not Jesus in them. And you go, this is great. I can pray that they get filled up more with Jesus. Amen? What a wonderful opportunity. You look at someone over here and they're fine. You go, oh, you're full. I'm going to go over here. I'm going to pray for this person. I'm going to stand for this person. Now, why? Why would I do that? Why would you do that? Because when I look within and I see in me things that are not Jesus, not Christ, my heart goes out. My heart goes out and I say, Father, by the Holy Spirit, fill those places with your Son. But when I see it in someone else, I say, Father, reject them. They don't have Jesus in those areas. No, I can't do that. I have to have the same heart. Or I'm special. No, you're not special. I'm special. So give me more Jesus, but condemn them. No, I say, I'm the second shoe salesman. I say, look, they're missing Jesus. This is great. I can pray for them. I want them to get more of the Lord. It's a blessing. It's an opportunity. Their lack is my joy to cover them, to pray for them, till we all come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's Ephesians. Till we all come. What's the measure? The stature of the fullness of Christ. That's the measure. I'm not the measure. They're not the measure. He is the measure. And he is the stature. And he is the fullness. He's what we seek. I'm fixing to end. This is my first ending. I'm just going to read a little bit of this right here. Mary of Bethany poured out all she had on feet that others thought it better to pound nails into. Mary takes the most expensive thing she's got. She doesn't give it to Jesus in the unbroken alabaster box and say, fill it more. Make the jar bigger and then fill it up so that I have more. No, she doesn't do that. She takes it and she breaks it and she pours it out. The most expensive thing she's got on Jesus. But other people looked at those same feet and said, let's pound nails into those feet. They didn't see them worth anything. The strong, when they cast the weak and the crippled at Jesus' feet, they may have thought, man, look how terrible that is. They're weak and they're crippled and They're down there on the ground at Jesus' feet. They might have even thought, well, he deserves better than that. But that's what he wants. Because they need a physician, a doctor. Remember, he said that in the scriptures. They don't need a doctor. They're whole. They're healed. These need a doctor. I'll stay with these people. And you remember his whole ministry. His whole ministry, they always were coming to him. They were always coming to him. So let's stand together, and I guess, do you want to have announcements or anything? Okay, let's stand together. Why don't we hold hands just across the thing here? I'll hold hands with Jesus. Nail scarred hands. Be careful with this hand. This crippled hand. Man. Thank you, sister. Okay. Amen. Father, we want your son. We want Jesus. We want life. We don't want teaching. We don't want to learn something new, something unusual. We want your spirit to pour more of his life into these earthen vessels. Bring forth more of him. Father, I thank you for the humbled hearts, the broken hearts that are here. I thank you for all those who are not perfectly right, that didn't come feeling as if they fit in or whatever, but just are here because of you. May they be at your feet this whole time, and may it bring you glory and honor to have crippled hands hold your heart. So, Father, thank you. May your Spirit guide us through the rest of this time. May he breathe forth the life and the presence of your Son, Father. And may there be an increase of Christ as a result of our time together. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.